Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
The gifts and the callings of God, they're irrevocable. If He has called you, He has called you to something, and God doesn't take it back. So if you're a believer today and you've got the calling of God and the gift of God, and you're running from the calling and you're running from your giftedness, you're going to be miserable.
So quit running 5, 10, 15 years. Quit running weeks or months and submit to the plan of God for your life.
Living on Every Word.
Living on Every Word.
I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want to speak to you today about the calling of God on your life. And I want us to begin this morning by looking at this call and this giftedness through the call of Peter and then James and John, and how Jesus came to them and called them out, and called them out to a specific purpose. And what I want to suggest to you today, that it's the same call that's on our lives today. It's a specific purpose that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a call on your life and there is a giftedness that God gives to you to see that call walked out and worked out in this life. So let's look at Luke chapter 5, and we look at the first disciples. And I want to say this also by the beginning. When I say disciple, I don't mean a first class Christian. I mean you. We are all disciples. We don't come to Christ and then say, okay, one day I'll be a disciple. You enter the school of discipleship the moment you come to Christ. You are a disciple. God calls you to salvation. He calls you to discipleship. It's interesting, when you go to Acts, the Christian was known as a disciple. And the scripture says that it was in Antioch that they began to be called Christians. And it was a derogatory term. And Christian simply means little Christs. And they would say in a derogatory term, look at these little Christs. Well, it stuck. And so the scripture says at that point, disciples were known as Christians. A Christian is a disciple. A disciple is a Christian. Jesus Christ says, you follow me. And that's a disciple, to follow. A Christian is somebody who follows after Christ. So I want to ask you, are you following after Christ today? Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see this call. It's the call to the first disciples, the first Christians. And it says it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, that he was standing by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, and the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and he began teaching the people from the boat. Now, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night. We caught nothing. But at your word, I will do it. I will let down the nets. And so when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the boats so that they both began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear, from now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. Here is a call of God on some fishermen's life that would change them forever. And by the way, because of their word, would change you and I forever. Because of their influence, would change the world forever. And when I look at this passage of Scripture and I see the principles of salvation, the ingredients of salvation, I see a number of things. First of all, I see obedience. I see obedience. I see a faith in the Lord that Peter is beginning to have that would move him to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this call. When he says to Simon, let down your net for a catch, Simon answers and says, Lord, we have fished all night long and we have caught nothing. And there's this thought that you get from the text that says, Lord, letting down the nets is not going to make a whole lot of difference. Lord, we've worked hard all night. We have fished this since we were children. We've grown up on this lake, and we know that when we fish all night and we don't have anything, we're done. We go home, go to sleep. We've been up all night. We're tired, and we're ready to go to bed. And it'd be absolutely, totally impossible for us to have any kind of catch that we would bring to market and find profit with. You know, we've been talking about this kind of faith, a faith that looks at the impossible word of God, and we believe it and we obey it. And that's what he does. At your word, Lord, I'll do this. At your word, in spite of where we've been all night, at your word, Lord, whatever you say, I will do. Even if it seems unreasonable, even if it seems impossible, even if it seems unfair, I'm going to do what you call me to do. Now, folks, that is part of the Christian call of God. It's a call to obedience. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, it's a life of obedience. It's a life of discipleship, as we see in Scripture. And so this faith that produces this obedience in Peter's life is tested as he lets down his net. And what happens is, fish just jump in the net. And on the most successful day of his career, he's going to leave it behind. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a fisherman and I worked hard all night and I was surprised by this catch, I would think, man, my business is turning around now. I've got Sonar Jesus, you know. He's going to show me where the fish are. I'm going to put down my nets for a guy. He's going to follow me and we're going to make a ton of money for the kingdom of God. Turn around, see. Jesus has more than a turnaround for him. Going to knock his socks off. But you see what happens is in the midst of seeing this great catch, you have this call not only to obedience, but to the lordship of Christ, which is an obedient lifestyle. And in the presence of Christ, Peter falls to his knees. Notice what it says in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw, in other words, when his eyes were opened, when he looked beyond the impossible circumstance, when he looked beyond the great catch of fish that day, the Scripture says he saw. What did he see? He saw the glory of God. And it wasn't about the fish. It wasn't about the money that would be made at market this day. It was about the presence of God. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You are Lord, you are God, you are holy, and I am not. And your holiness is too big for me. In my wretchedness, in my unbelief, in my rebellion, in my lusts, and in my bitternesses, and in my pride, I'm undone. Depart from me, O Lord. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." A man or a woman who has never seen the wretchedness of his life will not come to Christ until he sees it. Salvation is not just a proposition of saying, do you want eternal life? That's easy. How many of you want eternal life? Well, we'll all raise our hands for that one, won't we? But how many of you will follow me to eternal life? How many of you will take up your cross and follow me for eternal life? Folks, it's only when you see yourself undone, it's only when you see yourself wretched, it's only then that you see that you need a Savior. And the Savior's in this boat, and he's obeyed this word, and then through this obedience, he sees the glory of God. Forget about the fish. Forget about the money. Forget about the bank book. Forget about all those things. I'm in the presence of God, and I'm undone, and I need a Savior. His call is a call to lordship where he says, you are Lord. The Scripture says amazement seized him. Another word is fear seized him. He had a fear of God in his life at this very moment. And he knew that he was undone. And he knew that the wrath of God was upon him. But look what Jesus says to him. He says, do not fear, because from now on, you're going to be catching men. I've got something different for you. I've got a call on your life, and this call is to obedience, it is to lordship, and you know what else it is? It's to abandonment. Because the Scripture says that when they brought their boats to land, they left everything, now watch this, and followed him. You remember Jesus said in another account, follow me. Follow me. This call is a call to abandon, my life, to abandon my dreams, to abandon my flesh, to abandon what I think to my agendas, and to say, God, I'm going to follow you, because that's what the call is. The call is to Him. It's to Him and Him alone. It's a call to die to self and live to Christ, to take up that cross, to follow after Him, and to say yes to Him, and to find that God is moving in my life, that as I follow Him, that I am finding myself catching men. When's the last time you caught a man? Oh. If you're a woman, disregard that. When's the last time that we saw someone come to Christ? Because we seeded in their lives. Because we spoke into it. See, I'm afraid that a lot of folks who call themselves Christians turn the world away from us. Jeremy called yesterday, last night, and for the second time he parked in a man's space at the apartment place where he lives. The guy came up, knocked on the door, and started cussing him out. And he said, Mom, I was as nice as I could be, apologized. He doesn't live here most of the time, and, you know, I apologized, and man, just said, I just won't do it again. He said he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on, and he said, and furthermore, you've made me late for church. And Jeremy said to him, guys like you that chase the world away, I am so sorry. So sorry. Jeremy's working in a roadhouse. And so he was working there that night, and apparently after the church, the guy bellied up to the bar there. And so Jeremy said, let me wait on him. So Jeremy said, how was the meal? He said, it's fine. Didn't look at Jeremy at all. I didn't realize Jeremy. Finally, Jeremy stood there. When the guy finally looked up, he said, see you at the house. What I'm saying is that, folks, sometimes we live our lives so doubly standard before the world. And we say one thing and we live the other way. And that's not what the call is all about. It is a call to the glory of God. Matter of fact, when you look at the calling of God and you look at the giftedness of God, when God has called you, when He has gifted you, look at Romans 11:29 on the screen. It says that the gifts and the callings of God, they're irrevocable. If He has called you, He has called you to something, and God doesn't take it back. So if you're a disciple today, if you're a believer today, and you've got the calling of God and the gift of God, and you're running from the calling and you're running from your giftedness, you're going to be miserable. Matter of fact, you are miserable, unhappy, because God doesn't take it back. And guess what? You got Jesus, you're caught. So quit running 5, 10, 15 years. Quit running weeks or months and submit, because you're going to be miserable until you're submitting to the plan of God for your life. I'm not talking about a missionary plan. I'm not talking about a pastor plan. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the plan of God for your life, to embrace Him and the things of God, and to live for Him and Him alone, and not anything else. Because this call is to Him. It's to Jesus. He says, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You'll be catching men. When you look at the call of God in Scripture, you have a lot of different areas that God says you're called to. Notice on your screen, I'm going to go very quickly through this. First of all, you're called into relationship with the Son. It is a relationship. It's not something that you turn on and turn off when you feel like it. It is a lifestyle of living with Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So when He called you, He called you to relationship. And this relationship is to walk with Him. It's not to be a severed relationship. It is to be a relationship that is growing and vibrant. He has called you into fellowship with Him. He's called you God's people, God's beloved. Romans 9:25. He says also in Hosea, I will call those who are not my people, my people. And her who is not beloved, beloved. And it will be in that place where it is said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. So it's not only called into relationship, we're called into sonship. We are sons and daughters of the living God. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7:15, in the end of that verse, that He has called us to peace. In Galatians 5:13, he says that we've been called to freedom. In Colossians 3:15, he says you've not only called into peace, but you were called to peace in one body. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body. Peace in your life. Peace in the body of Christ. Not separation, not distinction, not fighting, but to peace. Is there peace in your life? Is there peace in your marriage? Is there peace in your relationship to the body of Christ? That's what He's called you to. That's why this whole proposition of the gospel is so wonderful, because it's like, you know, I'm calling you to something so wonderful so that you come out of the darkness and you get to be called the people of God. Amen. I want to ask you, are you living like the people of God today? We're called to holiness. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, because our works would never be good enough, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. We're called to eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Folks, we're also called to suffer. 1 Peter 2:21 says that for you have all been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Suffering. You've got to suffer. It's got to be hard. For your flesh, yes. For your spirit, it's sweet. And again, for your flesh, it's hard. But for your spirit, it's sweet. Called to this purpose. We're also called to inherit the blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. We don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. But we give a blessing instead. Isn't it so easy just to return evil for evil and insult for insult? Isn't it so easy just to fight back? Isn't it easy not to say you're sorry? Isn't it easy not to say forgive me? It's easy. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're called to inherit the blessing, and not only inherit the blessing, but you're to give that blessing away. To give the blessing away. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. Are you a blessing to the people around you, or are you just a curse? Blessing. This is the call of God. This is what Peter's embracing. This is what disciples embrace. This is what we embrace. Now, I don't know about you, but this call looks pretty great to me. I mean, relationship with Jesus, eternal life, inheriting blessings, not curses. A call to peace and a call to freedom. In my word, in this world where there is no freedom and there is no peace, and God is saying, this is your call. This is what I've called you to. The question that we ask is, does my life look like this? Does my life look like peace, or is it always chaotic? Marriage. Is there peace in my marriage, or is it always chaotic? Is there a freedom in my life? A freedom from the powers of darkness. A freedom in my life that just brings a joy. And it brings a kindness and a gentleness. It brings the fruit of the Spirit. Is there this freedom in your life? That's what He's called you to. This is what the call is about. Because I want to tell you, you can be in ministry today and do ministry and supposedly pray with hundreds of people and still not have this. You got to be called. This is what the call is about. But I tell you, if you're called to this, you have this. Are you walking in agreement with it today? Peter had this opportunity, a fisherman, an uneducated man, who God comes along and calls, who comes and says, this is the calling. Follow me, inherit the blessings. Follow me, and you will find life. Follow me, and you will be fishers of men. This call is irrevocable. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just real briefly, 1 Corinthians 1, because in this passage of Scripture, we get a real feel of the kind of people that God calls. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. You remember in Acts, they're preaching, and they say, where do these guys get their power? They're nothing but uneducated men. Literally, we get the word moron from it. They talk intelligibly. That's what the world says about us. You know, there's often times, and I sometimes get sick of this, I hear people say, boy, if that guy can get saved, imagine the impact he can give with all that money and with all that talent. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that when celebrities come to Christ, quote, 4 or 5 years, they're usually not walking it. I can name 4 or 5 people that I think of right now that made, quote, commitments to Christ, but are no longer walking it. We said, oh, if they receive Christ and do concerts and do all these things, what could God do? But I'm going to tell you, what could God do with a fisherman? What could God do right off the docks, right off the boats? According to culture, just misfits. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, the base things of the world, the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God, because by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Right from the gutter, God takes us, the least of kind of people, in bondage, histories that are not very pleasant, maybe abused sexually, maybe abused physically, emotionally. The poor of this world that God raises up from the dust and says, I'm going to use you for the glory of God. I'm going to call you. The calling of God is to those that are the least likely. I love the verse, where sin abound, grace abounded all the more. Where God comes to use you for his glory. I learned this as an 18-year-old working with junior high students. Led a guy to the Lord who, when he's in fifth grade, ball got stuck in the tree, went to fetch it, fell out, hit his head, and he was never the same. Old Mark, redheaded Mark. One of those kids that you sit and you wonder, do they ever get what you're talking about? One day he comes to me, we're outside, and you know, it's one of those guys that you just think, oh, here he comes again. He comes to his friend. He said, hey, this is my friend. His name's Jim. And he wants to receive Jesus. Would you help him? Stopped what I was doing, went into the back, began to share the gospel. You know, walked him through the Roman road, all of sin falling short of the glory of God. And Mark goes, told you. We've all sinned. So then Jesus died for you. You know Jesus, celebrate Easter, celebrate Christmas. He said, yeah. Mark said, told you. And I mean, everything I said, this eighth grade repeated, said, I already told him that. He didn't say that to me, but he was telling. See, told you, told you, told you. And right there, God took the base things of the world that the world sees base and used him to bring someone into the kingdom of God. You think that you don't have talent. You think that you don't have the giftedness. You don't think you have the calling. Well, I want to tell you, if you're in Christ, you have the calling. And it's time to quit running. It's time to step up. And it's time to be what God's called you to be. It's time to repent of your sin, turn from your wicked ways, and be what God's called you to be. There is such great opportunity today. There's opportunity all around you. Wherever you come in contact with someone, there's opportunity to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care where you've been, where you failed, and if you're right in the middle of the pig pen right now, God will take you up to use you for the glory of His name. And I want to ask you, do you want to say yes to that proposition? Because it's the proposition of heaven. That God wants to use the calling of God in your life and the giftedness of God to glorify His name. This call is irrevocable. Would you turn to John chapter 21 and then we'll close my part in this. Peter goes and he lives for Christ for 3 years, and then when Jesus is struck down, he is scattered. He denies Him 3 times. And because the call of God in Peter's life is irrevocable, Jesus comes back and says, in the midst of his failure, I'm still calling you and I'm still gifting you and I want to use you, Peter. The scripture says that when Jesus died and he began to appear, that Simon Peter says to his friends, I'm going fishing. You get the idea that he's going back to the boats. Having left the nets and abandoned everything 3 years before, they take the nets out and they start fishing again. You know what God says? Oh, no. You're not going this way. You're not going back to fishing for fish. I told you that when I call you, you're going to become a fisher of men. So Jesus appears 3 years later. And you know what? They have fished all night long and caught nothing. And Jesus appears on the shore and he says, "Have you got any fish yet?" "Oh, no fish. Drop your net on the other side and you'll get your catch." And they do it. They do it to the stranger. Scripture says they enclose a great quantity of fish. Sound familiar, doesn't it? Another successful day on the lake. Another successful day in the world. And I'm telling you, I think that perhaps you look at the text and you see an excitement that the world brings sometimes when you're successful. Someone said, "Hey, it's the Lord." This time it says, when Peter heard. And last night, when he saw, this time when he heard. When he heard, it was the Lord. Somebody ever tell you something and you have a delayed reaction and you may go 10, 15, 20 seconds and realize they said something to you? Have you ever done that? Well, that's what happened. It's the Lord. He's working hard, pulling these nets up. It's the Lord. And when he realizes it's the Lord, Scripture says that he jumps in, he swims to the Lord, and the Lord says to him, "Hey, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my lambs." "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" Scripture says he was grieved because he said to them the third time, "Do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things." He said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." If you're new to us and you've never heard me preach out of this message, let me just tell you what really happened in that conversation. In the Greek language, there's two words for the word love. The first is agape. It's the godlike love. It's the kind of love that God has for you and me, where he died for you. In the Greek New Testament, there's also the word phileo, called brotherly love, affectionate love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? And so Jesus is using these two words, and he says to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I'm not there yet, God. I don't love you like you love me." Look what Jesus says to him. "It's okay. Tend my sheep. Tend my sheep." Second question. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know, but you know that I just phileo you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, not three times like you hear often, but the third time Jesus asked, "Do you phileo me?" And he's grieved because he says, "Oh God, you know that I love you like a brother. You know that I love you affectionately. You know that. Please don't question that about me." Jesus says to him, "Feed my sheep. You're right, you're not there yet. But I take you just where you are. And you have this relationship with me, and you have the blessing of me, and all these other things that we talked about just a few minutes ago. Feed my sheep." To follow Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a career change. It just means you're going to have a life change. That's going to affect your entire life. Being called by God may mean a career change. It may. But one thing is certain, there's something that God is doing, and he's bringing us from a love of the world to an agape love of God. And that's what he promises to do. And I want to ask you, are you pursuing that? Are you saying yes to it?
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man made.